Welcome to the Fairest Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Kind of exhausted. We are recording this just before we leave for the Camino, although it will air. Actually, it'll air the day we start the Camino.
Oh, very exciting.
But I had a lot to get done before we take off on Friday. So It's been a little bit of a crazy week for me.
Definitely a marathon kind of a...
Yeah. What about you?
Is that your joy?
No, that's not my joy. Definitely not my joy. No, you know what my joy is? We just brought on two new part-time employees for my business. And that's definitely a joy because God just works in mysterious ways. So we brought on these two. We had work that I knew they could do, but their plates weren't going to necessarily be full right away. And so we brought them on. And then this week we signed three new clients.
Whoa.
So I would say that combination has definitely been
good combo.
A joy. It also added to a little bit of the marathon-ness of the week.
That is
but
life.
Yeah,
that
for
is
sure.
Life.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, my joy. I feel like the weather's been really nice, so I've been golfing a lot.
Nice.
Just like awesome.
I like it.
I have friends who golf. Our brother's home from school, So he's a big golfer too, which has been really fun. So that's my joy.
I like it. It's true. I brought a golf skirt because I was like, maybe we'll go golfing while I'm on before we leave for the Camino.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. So last week on the podcast, we were talking about kind of this boss babe culture, also the idea of being open to life. How do we kind of combine this feminine and this masculine within ourselves? Mm-hmm. So, and I think the kind of homework or takeaway we had was a little bit like assessing this and thinking like, how can I like lean a little bit into the feminine? We had talked about like, you know, letting someone, like letting a man open the door for you or like lift your suitcase into the airplane
overhead.
I was like, what? Yeah, that thing. So what for you, what worked with that this week?
Do you know what I realized? Often say no initially, which is interesting that like someone offers to help and I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
Then they have to push again instead of just generously like receiving their generosity, like openly receiving their generosity, and that not everything has to be a no, really? Yeah, no. Okay. And finally acquiescing to whatever they offered. And it can you know, anything from something little to like, oh, let me get this cup of coffee for you. And you're like, no. And they're like, no, really? Like, oh, are you sure? And it's this like weird, like sometimes it's okay to just receive openly someone else's generosity. And it doesn't always have to be kind of a song and dance. And I didn't even really think about it until one of my friends was like, you always say no. Like, why don't you just say thank you to things? And I was like, oh, this is okay. I'm so sorry. Okay, sure.
That's funny.
I don't know. And I think that that's something we talked about, how the feminine is receptive, how we receive. And sometimes I think we don't want to be a bother, or we don't want to be needy, or we don't. And I can do it myself. Like, yeah, I can open the door.
Sure.
But you don't have to.
Right. That's interesting. This is making me think so. I have a neighbor on the one side who is just this lovely, lovely man, but I've not had that many interactions with him. I actually have not had that many interactions with really any of my neighbors. They just really don't talk or pay much attention to anyone. But anyway, but if I'm like walking out, I'll say hello or whatever. We'll pass by. Anyway, he had one of my Amazon packages earlier this week. And so he came over and he was, as I was walking out, he was like, I think I got your Amazon package. And I was like, oh, I was like, yeah, probably. You know, getting stuff for a trip is what I told him. And he looks at the package and he goes, your name's Katie. My name is, like Andrew or whatever. And I was like, Andrew, it's really nice to like officially meet you. And he was like, it is. And then he said, and to your point of like always saying no. And then he said to me, let me know if you ever need anything. Like, I'm happy to even mow your lawn sometime.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh no, thanks. Like, da da da. And like, anyway. And then I was thinking about it on my ride up to Chicago today. because I'm going to be gone and we'll need someone to mow the lawn because I'm going to be gone like all of June.
Hmm.
And I could have just said to him, actually, now that you mention it,
perfect timing.
If you wouldn't mind, like the second week of June, just like giving a quick swipe over, like that would be great. Anyway, but yeah.
Well,
yeah. It's not really, that was not doing the homework well, but at least it was. Realizing it or acknowledging it.
Awareness is a big part. And I think this is a cool segue, actually, into our topic today, which is personality types.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wonder if this is a little bit our personality.
Totally.
That,
yeah, definitely mine.
Yeah. So Katie and I are going to talk about personality types because I actually think it's super important for people to take personality tests. Find one that you like that speaks to you. I don't think that there's one... Look, every personality test and thing is going to fall short in some way. Some are going to resonate a little bit more with you more than others. But the point being is that to study and understand oneself is super important. And in our single years, there's this, like, time is your friend. Mm-hmm. And so there's an opportunity to really be able to kind of know yourself and learn yourself without, you know, sometimes married people have way more pressure to focus on, sure. You know, spouse and kids things. And other yep. things that they don't always have the time. So time is really a luxury that mm-hmm. single people have. I think you have, you know, vocationally maybe a little less than a situationally sure. single person, but that... But we love yeah. personality tests.
Yeah,
and so do. We're big fans. And so we thought we would talk about yeah. kind of our favorite ones and why it's important.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting with the personality test too, is I think this is something that I didn't realize until probably until my 30s, honestly, maybe my late 20s, early 30s, is I just assumed everyone thought the same way I did, but just didn't act the same way I did.
Interesting.
Like, and I really... It really struck me at one point when somebody said something to me and I just looked at them like, wait, you think that way about stuff? Like it just, cause like what I realized as I was like diving into my personality types and all the, and other people's personality types is one of the things that for me is the most difficult for me to understand or the most difficult for me to be, we'll say merciful to others about is when they act in a way that I would not act.
Really?
And that for me is very, very difficult.
Do you have an example of that?
Yeah. So for instance, let's say it could be something super simple. Let's say I'm in the grocery store and, you know, there's like a little old lady in front who's like carrying all the things and whatever. And she asks, you know, someone, can I cut in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the person says, no. Mm-hmm. Not like I was here first. Wait your turn. I have the hardest time with that person because I'm like, what the hell? Like, I would never do that. Mm-hmm. I would, of course, be like, yes, please. Like, let me help you. Can I put that on the conveyor belt for you? Like, whatever, right? Like, those kinds of things. Or, I don't know, like, a friend is sad and, like, you know your friend is sad and you don't reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, maybe you, like, left them in tears and then nobody come, like, that person doesn't follow up and be like, how are you doing? Mm. To me, I'm like, of course you would do that. And so when people don't, it took me a long time to realize, like, they don't think that way. It's not that yeah. they're thinking like I am of, like, I need to reach out to this friend and then choosing not to.
Mm. That's so funny.
They're not even a thought.
Yeah, that's funny because I'm thinking of, like, following up after, like, difficult conversations. Sometimes I won't do that
mm-hmm.
all the time because my personality type, like, if we had a difficult conversation and then we kind of parted ways and like you texted later being like, love you so much. I think now I've learned to be okay with that because people express things differently. But my personality type would be like, F off. Give me a second to breathe.
Get
off my neck. Like, and that I don't have that same reaction anymore because I understand like there's nothing kind of controlling or pushy about it that some people want to just be more affectionate or... you know, expressive in that way at times. Yeah. But that my movement there would be give things time when they're ready, they'll reach out. Instead of me pursuing and being like, just want to make sure you're doing well. Like, they'll reach out when they're doing well. It's like my...
Oh, yeah. And for me, I'm like the exact opposite. I'm like, I better follow up with her and make sure they're like good. How are they doing? And like, what do they need? And how, you know, like...
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, okay. What is your favorite personality test?
Okay, I will tell you, I've done a lot of them over the years. A lot of them. And my personal favorite, which I think is the same as yours, is the Enneagram.
Yeah. I think the Enneagram, and people are going to be really hot and cold about this, but I think the Enneagram is, for me, has felt the most accurate, and it also gives the most room for what I would consider to be the diversity of human expression.
Yeah, nuance.
And for sure. That, you know, because I've met other, like, I'm, like, technically, like, I'm an ENTJ. I've met other ENTJs, and I'm like, we're not the same.
Yeah.
We're not the same. But the Enneagram, I think because there's so much nuance to it, that it actually, there's so, like, I do think that.
Yeah, I think it's the diversity
fits into it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think it's the number, there's 9 numbers, the number, or like personalities basically, but the numbers are broad enough. Like, I'm a 3. I feel like the 3s are broad enough to encompass a lot of people, but there are very few things that like categorize a 3 that I'm like, that's not me.
Mm.
Like, I feel like, oh, that's totally me. But sometimes we handle things differently, right? Like, another 3 might not handle something the exact same way, but we're both, for instance, very driven.
So I think what's interesting is that, because then you can also have different wings, and then you have different movement in periods of stress or in periods of health. So yeah, a 3, but you're moving in a stressed space and they're moving in a healthy space.
Right.
They're going to look a little bit different. Totally. And so what I actually find is really interesting is that the numbers are not necessarily these attributes about yourself, but you get placed in a number based on core fears and core desires, which speaks to our heart. And it actually, psychologically, I think, really speaks to our childhood, how we were raised, and our core beliefs, which I actually think motivate and drive us more than people realize, which is why I think the Enneagram is probably the most accurate. As accurate as we can get with our, you know, flawed psychology and science and humanity.
Well, right. And I want to say, like, we laugh because a lot of us in our family are like kind of big into it, but we've got a couple of brothers who think it's the stupidest load of crock ever. And I do, like, to their point, my one brother's like, not all 8 billion people in the world can be boxed into 9 personalities. I'm like, okay, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that's to this point is like, there is still a lot of nuance because it's just based on our core motivations and our core fears and kind of how those drive us to certain actions or decisions or thought patterns in our lives. Which for me, I will tell you, like, personally has been very helpful to kind of look at these things. Cause there's some things that, like, I knew about myself, but I didn't necessarily know was not a good thing.
Mm.
Or I knew about myself, but I just assumed this was like everybody.
Mm.
And then when I started diving into the Enneagrams and the numbers and looking at the different numbers, I was like, oh wait, like, this is just me.
Mm.
Or 3s, right? Like, I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. So let me give you an example. So 3s are they're the achievers. So they like get a lot done. They get a lot done in a little amount of time. They're often the entrepreneurs, right? Like, this is very me. But they're very, very focused on their to-do list and their tasks. They're super task oriented. All they want to do is get through their to-do list and like be able to wipe it clean, which they never do because their to-do list is always being added to. So what happens with 3s is sometimes if they're in an unhealthy state or in a stress state, their to-do lists become everything and they lose personal connection and personal touch with others because they're so focused on getting stuff done that people often become tools to getting things done instead of unique personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as I was like diving into 3s and learning about this and stuff like that, I realized, like, wait, I need to tell my team that if I send an email that's like a one-line email or a Slack message that's like one line with a period, hey, can you make sure that you do this, XYZ, that is not me mad.
Mm.
Because one of my employees asked me a couple of days after I'd sent an email that just said, like, could you make sure that you send this invoice by this date, da 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 da. She followed up later and said, were you mad when you sent that? And I was like,
no,
not at all. Why? And she was like, well, it was just one line. There was no greeting and you ended it with a period. I was like, okay, grammar. But it made me realize, like, okay, this was me just trying to get something off my plate, like check something off my to-do list. And so it was like, I just got to remind her to send this invoice. But for her, she's not an Enneagram 3. She's an Enneagram 2. Twos are helpers, but their big thing is they want connection, right? Mm-hmm. They want to be bonded to you. So for me, just sending this quick email and being like, do this thing, for her was like, she's clearly mad at me because she doesn't want to connect with me.
Yeah, which I think is really cool because you take the time to get to know your employees' mm-hmm. Enneagram numbers.
Yes.
Which is interesting because that helps you be a better leader. It helps the team be more cohesive because then you can kind of understand who you're working with. And this is not like everybody, not everybody, many, many corporations do this, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was talking to someone and they were like, the four temperaments,
yeah,
but sure. It was packaged with this corporation. It was like, are you red, yellow, blue, or green? Like,
oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
take
yeah,
the test and you do this and you do that. And I'm like, oh, this is just so interesting that really what we know is that to be a good leader, to work well in team and in tandem with others, we have to one, know ourselves, and two, understand others so that we can adjust even our own style of communication or our own mode of operation to be cognizant of other people's mm-hmm. strengths, their weaknesses, their needs, and so forth. Yeah. And so I will say sometimes it's helpful. I'll have some clients that I'm maybe a little mm-hmm. stuck with kind of start to take some of these tests and stuff so that I can kind of understand maybe different perspectives.
Yeah. Or different ways of speaking to them.
Well, yeah, exactly. And so then and it's funny because you'll say the same message, but you'll say it differently and it resonates with them differently, mm-hmm. like, or better, mm-hmm. right? Because you're kind of using language or things that they understand. And so I'm like, oh, this is so helpful sometimes.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So I have all my employees do it. I actually have everyone who applies to work for us do it. Mm. And then I often have them do it again once they actually work for us. Because I think people answer according to what they think I'm looking for, which ends up, I get many people who think they're an Enneagram 1, which is the perfectionist. Which very few people are that. So I have them do it again. But anyway, but what is fascinating about having my team do it is, like you were saying, like it helps me kind of talk to different people. Yeah. So let me give you an example. My team actually has a 2, I'm a 3, a 4, a 5, and a 9. Hmm. And we just brought on a 1 and a 7. No, a 1 and another 5. Sorry. Another 5.
1 and 5.
Or 4. 4. A 4. Sorry. Sorry. Everyone took the test, so I'm trying to remember. We brought on a 1 and another 4.
Mm.
And, but here's the interesting. So 2s are the helpers. So they're the yes man, the yes woman. You ask them to do something and they're going to say yes, even if they don't have the time. So when I reach out to my employee who's a 2 and I ask her, can you add this thing to your plate? I always start with, I want you to think about this for 24 to 48 hours and get back to me to ensure that you have time on your plate to add this client or mm-hmm. to add this activity or whatever. Because I know she's going to say yes, even if she doesn't have the time. So for her, that's what I always say.
Wow.
Now, I have a 5, and 5s want to be the experts on anything before they say yes to it. So when I ask a 5, I don't say, can you think about it for 48 hours? Because they will spiral into this like endless loop of research. Mm. I say, like, I looked at your plate. You have time for this. Mm-hmm. We're going to add this to you. If in 2 months this isn't working, talk to me and we can reassess.
Yeah. And I will say the ideal there, so you're talking about this in a leadership sense, the mm-hmm. ideal there would be that I study my number and I know this and I can advocate for myself, right?
Yes.
I can tell my employer, give me 24 hours and I'll get back to you,
yep.
right? If I know that I have a tendency of saying yes too quickly because I have a tendency of people pleasing and I want to help and I want to be needed. And so I know that about myself. Ergo, I need to wait 24 hours.
Yeah.
And so that would be the ideal. And this is why I think it would be really great, right, for all of our listeners and for everyone, like, to take these personality tests and to kind of be willing to do a deep dive with yourself and say, you know, can I know myself well enough that I'm willing to address my flaws, play to my strengths, and find ways to advocate for that in relationships and romantic relationships and work settings.
Mm-hmm. In friendships, all the things.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been helpful, at least for me, the focus with the Enneagram on, like, core, like, fears and stuff, because I can kind of recognize, like, when I'm having a strong reaction to something, to take a step back and be like, ooh, is this triggering my core, whatever, and go from there.
Yeah, and it's helped me a lot too. I mean, especially as a boss, to really think through, you know, dealing with everybody, looking at different problems, figuring out different ways to address them. And then for myself too, just like knowing that I need to give space, like, to my team for connection, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. So threes hate meetings. I hate meetings. I hate meetings. I'm in a lot of meetings. I hate meetings that seem like a waste of time. I hate meetings that feel like all you do is like chit chat about nothing, mm-hmm. and they have no agenda. Sure. I cannot. However, if I'm going to run an entire team full of people who are not threes, who are all remote, they need to be able to connect. And so I like have to make a concerted effort when we meet on Mondays and Thursdays to like chit chat in the beginning. And it's really painful for me to do. I mean, like, I love getting to know them. Like, it's not painful to be friends with them, but it's, I'm like, I got a list. I want to get it done. I want to do this. And so then to be like, how was your weekend?
Small talk. You don't like it. You're like, let's get down to business.
Exactly.
You know, but I think if you can see that as like, this is a need for the team, it becomes almost an itemized list for you of like, connection is totally itemized, because now I know I need to do this.
So this is interesting. So we had, I bring my team together every year for like a team retreat. And so this year we had actually an Enneagram coach, Tyler Zach, who's like amazing. He's written all these books on gospel for Enneagram. He's a Christian, and love his books. Definitely has the Christian aspect take. So just keep that in mind if you grab it. Definitely missing some of the Catholic elements. But anyway, so he coached us, and we did a whole workshop with him. And one of the things he said was, we were talking about working together in communication, and one of the things that we had to look at and then indicate for us what was the hardest was this list of things that like are really painful for us. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the things on there was being interrupted in my work is very painful for me. Wow. Because I'm like, I'm hyper focused, I'm doing my thing. And so I pointed that out, and I told my team, I said, listen, like, I understand that as a boss, it's really bad if I'm not interruptible. Mm-hmm. And I said, so I'm really working on this. But no, if my first reaction or if I don't get back to you right away is not great, it's because of this. And Tyler was like, okay, so, but Katie, this is a really good thing to know. And he said, because then what you can do is, and if your team knows this, your team can just use a calendar link to get on your calendar. And then they're not interrupting you, and they're getting what they need done.
Right.
And so like, that's one of the things that I do. I'm always like, just pop yourself on my calendar. Like, let me know a couple of times and then I can put you on the calendar. Yeah. So you're getting what you need from me, but I'm also getting what I need as a three.
Yeah. I like the creative problem solving there, mm-hmm. where it's like, I don't necessarily have to sacrifice. No one has to sacrifice their needs here in order to find solution, which I think is really kind of awesome. And I think when you're trying to cultivate relationships with people, which I feel like is such the theme of so many of our episodes, mm-hmm. is like just cultivating relationships with people and with yourself. Is that if I can kind of be creative with my needs and with solutions and with other people, then there's a lot of growth there and a lot of opportunity for health, right? Just like, we can all be thriving. Like, it doesn't have to be either or. I don't have to be like, oh, these are my deficits, and like, sometimes I think people can get really fixed, and I think this is something we want to be careful about, is that, and this is what I really like about the Enneagram, is that there are paths for growth, instead of just being like, you're an ENTJ, period.
Yeah, that's it. Right? You're always going to be that.
And so a lot of people are like, well, but I'm this, right? And so the idea that, well, I can have these tendencies and kind of these core fears or these core desires or so forth, and there's room for growth there, right? So yes, I'm an introvert, and I can learn to be outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can learn to be charismatic, because that's what is called for in certain settings and situations. And so I think that this is all kind of in the same path as any of our other growth opportunities.
Well, and I think like one of the things that I just love about the Enneagram too is I feel like it's very Christian, very Catholic in a certain sense, because it's very much like, here's what you are, and you can use this for good or for evil.
Mm.
Like, you can use it for good or bad, right? And so, you know, for instance, again, like threes, right? We are so goal-oriented that we often become chameleons to like fit into different things and different spaces. Okay, so being a chameleon can be really good, right? Think of St. Paul, right? I became all things to all men so that I could like have an impact on the world, right? So like being a chameleon can be really good. Being a chameleon can also be really inauthentic, right? If you're just constantly,
it's like the people pleasing, it's the
changing who you are and what you're saying and what you believe or the way that you come across because you just want to be liked by everyone. And so threes can go either way. Threes can have periods, and I definitely like see this in my own life, like had periods where I was just like people pleasing all the time and like just like, yes, whatever, whatever you want, whatever, like whatever. And then other times when I'm like, no, you know, like I can be all things, but I can also have my own opinion or my own thought on this or whatever.
Yeah. The Enneagram actually in its root is Jesuit.
Yeah. The Jesuits really, I mean, there's some debate over exactly its roots, but the Jesuits have really developed a lot of it.
Yeah. And like anything else, I think we want to be careful because some people are going to be like, oh, it's not good, blah, blah, blah. The Enneagram isn't good, blah, blah, blah. We don't really care. We're speaking to Enneagram because it's the one we know best. It's the one that's resonated with us. Obviously, we want to be careful not to put kind of like anything above God or above even our own intellect of knowing, right? Like I have the freedom to choose. This doesn't have to pigeonhole me. I don't have to like check all my choices or all my relationships through this medium, you know? And that there's like freedom here, right? So this is the concern or the negative side sometimes of these tests is that it can really pigeonhole people, or people can be like, well, I need to look and see what I should do based on my XYZ results. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we want to just be careful in that these are guides. They're not gospel truth.
Right. Well, and I think there's so many ways that you can use it too to grow in your relationship with our Lord as well, right? Because a deeper knowledge of yourself also means a deeper understanding of the Lord and how he looks at you. But also, you know, like, I don't know, my prayer could very easily often just be to-do lists because that's kind of who I am at my core, right? And so, you know, when I realized that and kind of like in diving in deeper to my personality type, like when I realized that, what I started doing is like showing up to prayer 5 minutes before I was actually going to do my prayer and making the to-do list then. And then starting my prayer.
That's brilliant.
Right. Or one of the other things that I do is I often keep like a pad of sticky notes in the back of my notebook. And so if an idea comes to me or something I need to do or something like that, I just jot it down on the sticky note so that it's out of my head. It's written down on a piece of paper. And then I can go back, you know, to my prayer.
Yeah, we should have a whole episode on meditation. That was a technique I learned. I had to take a radical art class in college. And so I took meditation and we learned different forms of meditation. Food meditation, art meditation, music meditation, silent meditation. And one of the things they recommend in kind of our cluttered mind and in our brain is that sometimes it's so hard to get focus. And I think this is what so many people can say is that it's difficult to pray. It's difficult to be focused and here and there. And so that sometimes writing on a to-do list helps my brain move from work mode to something else. And that the sticky notes help when those intrusive thoughts come in of like what I need to do and to help me just move it, but not forget it.
Yep. So I'm curious, Monica, like I've talked a lot about like what I've learned from me being a three and all that. Is there anything that you like have taken from learning more about yours and kind of going in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think I...
Because you're an eight?
Yeah, I'm an eight. So I've learned a lot about, again, kind of these core things have helped. Do you know what I actually will say? It gave me the language to be able to explain myself to others.
Yeah.
Which I found to be so helpful in therapy. When I was working with my therapist and trying to explain why particular things were bothering me in the way that they were, these personality tests, particularly the Enneagram, gave me the language to be able to say, oh, because I read it and I was like, oh, yes, this. And I was able to articulate better why particular things were bothering me or use words that other people could understand as I struggled to express myself, because I felt it to my core, especially because the an eight is in the gut triad. So I have a hard time articulating why I make the choices I make or why, because I'm like, it just felt right. I had a feeling and I went with it and my gut's never wrong. So I went with it. I don't know. And and so I found for me what was most helpful was common language to be able to explain myself, to be able to unpack with a professional and understand myself better as I was going through therapy. So I think that that's been really helpful. And then even being able to kind of laugh at myself a little bit and be like, oh, there I go again. Yeah. This is why there's that tendency, and to check it sometimes, right? So mm-hmm. like the eights are very intense. Some ways for me to like really like let off steam or process or whatever are like very physically intense things. And mm-hmm. so I've had to learn other ways. And so I can notice myself now that I like know, kind of, I knew that, but to be able to articulate it and to see it, I'm able to see other paths for rest and other paths for healing or processing that have been really helpful.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of like getting to know yourself better and then being able to make decisions. One of the things that I did not realize about mine until about being an Enneagram 3 until recently when we were going through this workshop with Tyler, was that in like times of stress, three, since they're like go, 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 go all the time, all the time, all the time. In times of stress, they just numb out and they just like shut down.
And you probably didn't even realize you were doing it because oftentimes our stress is autopilot. And so you're right. So threes shut down, eights isolate, I withdraw. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think I could have articulated that or even seen myself doing it because this is in my mind. I was like, this is just what I need to do. And now I can feel myself and see myself doing it. And I'm like, okay, what is this really telling me I need? What are healthier ways to move? Doesn't mean that you can't numb out sometimes. It doesn't mean you can't isolate sometimes, but it,
yeah. And for me, I think every time I would catch myself numbing out, like in the midst of it, whatever, maybe you're binging something, or maybe you're like doom scrolling, or maybe you're just like not working out, not eating right anymore, right? Doing that whole thing. And I would be like, what the heck is wrong with me? Like, this is not me. Cause that's not my normal mode, but it is me. This is. And so one of the things that I thought was really interesting that Tyler was pointing out in our workshop is, so, you know, in times of stress, you move in one direction, in times of growth, you move in another, but there's a lot that we can learn and take from those stress patterns to learn from. And he said, so, you know, for threes, when they just numb out, he said, it's not that that's all bad, because threes need to learn how to slow down.
Yeah.
And numbing out helps you slow down. And so you need to find a way to slow down instead of numb out. And I was like, oh, that's fascinating. But like, I would always like, I would get to this point and then I'd be like, what the heck is wrong with me? Why am I doing this? Like, and it would be so confusing to me because I'm usually like, go, 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 getting all this stuff done. And then suddenly I'm like, I have no more space for that. And I like didn't understand. And now I'm like, oh.
Interesting.
There you go.
I love that.
I think too, like almost everyone in our family has done it. I actually want everyone in the center that I live in to do it too, because I feel like it would just help me understand them all so much better. Yeah. But I think even in our family, like it's been so helpful to know, you know, like, our sister Amanda is a five, you know, and like she was trying to make a really like difficult decision of whether she should go back to school or not. And Monica and I were both like, do it. Like, why the hell not? Like, just do it. But fives overthink everything and want to know everything before they commit. And so she was like,
I think in some ways, I mean, I don't know the conversations you had with her. It allowed me to, this is a little bit my personality type. Like eights are like the mama bears, they're extremely supportive. They love to cheer people on. But in knowing what she needed, I was able to actually like live my personality type better, because to support, love, cheer on, encourage meant I had to sit with her and listen for a while as she tried to play out every single scenario. She asked all these what if questions, as she had to do all this research, because that's what made her feel safe. Like the five needs knowledge, whereas the eight will burn a bridge and then I'll shoot and look second. I'll be like, oops,
what?
Close enough. Here we go. Like, I'll work with it. It's fine. You know, I'm okay with the messiness. And like, here we go. Like, we're going to just play around and find out. So I think it's been really interesting.
Yeah. I think it can help so much personal growth, but also relationship growth. We were laughing at my team too, because based on the numbers, almost my whole team is very heart-centered. And then there was one who is head-centered.
That makes sense though, because you guys are like a mission-minded brand.
And like, and I always talk about us being so heart-centered and stuff like that. But yeah, so she mentioned multiple times during our workshop, she was like, yeah, if everyone could just use their heads a little bit more.
Hey, so if you could all just stop.
Anyway.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is also in the Enneagram. They talk about head, heart, and gut triads and who kind of functions where, which is just so funny because it's also helpful to understand. I think, like, I make decisions quickly because they're coming from my gut and they're really very instinctual choices. And to see people, you know, I ask one of our siblings a lot, like, well, what does your gut say? And they're like, I literally have no idea.
Yeah.
They're so stuck in their head that they have literally no idea. Or some people are like, but my feelings. So I'm like, what? Your heart? Like, what?
Well, and so this is, we talked about this earlier when I was talking about using AI to make a difficult business decision. And my gut, which I don't listen to that often, my gut was like, make this decision. It's super clear. But my heart, which I am super heart-centered, and that's how I make most of my decision, my heart was the one that was having a really hard time with this. Even though I knew it was the right decision to make, my heart was like, oh,
yeah, and I think no. For you, your heart needs to get on board before you can make decisions.
Absolutely.
And it takes you a little bit. Mm-hmm. And for some people, their mind, the choice has to get there. Mm-hmm. And I will say, like, the gut doesn't need as much time. And right. Oftentimes the decisions I make that are maybe not great or whatever are because my heart or my mind got involved and I went against what my gut said. My gut was like, this is great. And then my heart was like, is it though? And I'm like, you know, and this so it's funny. Just, it's interesting that we have these kind of very instinctual patterns and we can often kind of get lost in it.
This makes me think, so I'm joining a mastermind, like a CEO mastermind. And so I went to like an intro session. And with a couple other people who are thinking of joining it. And anyway, so we're like working through this prompt. So the guy who's running it says to one of the other people in there, like, okay, so where are you feeling that in your body?
Yeah.
Your response to this. And it took everything in me to hold back a laugh because stop. I was like, what? What? So later I just met with him to see if like I would be a good fit for this program and all this kind of stuff. And he said, do you have any questions for me after the workshop yesterday? And I said, yeah.
Yeah. What the heck was that somatic question?
Well, I said, yeah. I said, here's the thing. I could never answer that question for you ever. I don't know where I feel things. But I don't feel things. I don't
you
know.
Do.
I do. I'm sure it happens somewhere, but I don't. I tried with my therapist. I am not tuned into it. And so I said to him, I said, so is that going to be a problem? Like, if it's going to be a problem, this is not a good fit for me because I cannot answer that in truth. And I said, I often don't know. And then I'll get a migraine, but I often don't feel it. And he was like, no, that's fine. As long as you know that you don't know. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But that's also part of the heart centered because you're so
emotional.
Yeah. You're like emotional, but you're not, threes especially are emotional, but not tuned into their emotions. They're tuned into others' emotions. And oh my so goodness. It's very.
Well, yeah. So this is why, I mean, I find it fascinating, right? Because I don't understand it at all. I don't understand how people say they don't know where they feel it in their body. I do not understand how. So speaking to what a particular type is going to understand, like as an eight, I don't understand hesitating in decisions. I don't understand not knowing where something is in your body because my body will scream at me. My gut will be like, you're going to listen right now. Like, it's
nope.
You know, and some people are like, well, what about this? And I'm like, I don't know. Just was like, yep, this feels right. Here we go.
Yeah, no, literally I was getting stretched today. And the guy was like, so where does it hurt most? And I said, I don't know. I'm just sore.
What?
And he was like, really? And I said, I tell you the same thing every time. I literally cannot tell you where it hurts more or less.
It's incredible.
In my whole body. Like, I don't know. I don't know. And then he'll start like using the Theragun. And he'll get somewhere and I'll be like, oh, and he'll be like, that's more tender than normal. And he can feel it with a Theragun. And I'm like, yeah, I think that hurts more than, I don't know.
This is amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated by all of this. So anyways, I think a good takeaway for our listeners would be to take the Enneagram test or any other personality test and to do a deep dive and then maybe come back, do some research. Maybe we can
talk about a part two on like Enneagram and prayer.
Oh, okay, great.
And because I think that would be kind of fascinating.
Yeah. Too. Well, because the Enneagram also talks about how we need silence, stillness, or solitude. That's, so I actually think that would be great. But I don't know. I think a good maybe like thing to think about, I kind of like your question of like, well, what about your number? Or what about this research into your personality type or whatever surprised you? What did you learn? What did you learn about yourself? Oh, I like that. What did you learn about yourself?
What did you learn about yourself? Or maybe something that you knew kind of. But like you're being verified in.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
I will say that's the other like really awesome thing is that I think everyone reads their type, at least in the Enneagram, and they're all, like, a little personally offended because it's so accurate.
Totally.
But simultaneously, you're like, I feel so seen. Mm-hmm. I read that and I was like, I feel so seen because eights are one of the most misunderstood numbers because we often come across as really bold and confident and firm and sometimes a little mean. But that it's all coming from, like, such a place of love. And, like, people miss that. People miss that. People miss this, like, oh, it's actually, like, from a very loving place and not necessarily, like, a controlling or demanding place. And so, but I think what that's done for me is that if I don't want to be misunderstood, I need to adjust my messaging a little bit. I need to be softer. And I had been told to be softer a lot throughout my 20s. But it wasn't until it was, like, I finally understood, right, that because the eight fears being controlled, that, like, softness wasn't weakness and that I could actually still be very, like, safe and in control and soft and still get my message across actually more effectively.
Sure.
And so I think that that was kind of a – so anyways, I think that's something interesting to think about.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great takeaway.
That's it for this week on Single, Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are in your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Until next time, keep walking fully and living boldly.